to Six Out Culture Podcast. And once again, I'm joined by Danny and Franchette. How are you guys?
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Well, I was debating coming on here or not, but it's better I don't run from it. So I better just talk about the game, give my thoughts and opinions on what transpired in Manchester last night between Roma and Manchester United. It was a disappointing result, obviously, 6-2. It was a heartbreaking result. You know, there's a lot of hype going into this game, a lot of excitement. It's been a long time for the trophy, and we finally saw a route to the final. And it looks like it's over now. Just coming into it, I was confident because Veretout was back, but Spinazzola was back. Al-Sharabi was not back, but I don't think it would have started anyways. But when the match started, it was looking like the Ajax match. We sat back a lot and we tried to get them on the counter. I think a lot of people mistake possession for dominating a game when it's far from the truth. United did make some nice plays at the beginning, but nothing really worried me too much. Then they went on to take the lead 1-0 from Bruno Fernandes, chipped it over Paulo Lopez. I still wasn't discouraged because I did not feel like they were that much better than us. I actually thought the Ajax were better against us than United did when the game started. Then we got the penalty where Pogba handballed it after a Karsdorp cross, and Pellegrini put it away. At that point, I started getting my excitement up. We're now leading the tie as it stood at the time. We're going to the finals, so I began to get excited. Then Dzeko scored, and I'm sure myself and many other Roma fans around the world lost their shit with that. Maybe this is possible. But as the match went on, you know, you see Veretout going down with 3 minutes into the game, our best player, in my opinion. And it was Spinazzola, who's been our second best player, maybe even best player you can debate at times. He was the whole reason for that Dzeko goal. He went down. Paulo Lopez has been, you can't even debate it, the best keeper in the Europa League this season. He made a nice save on Pogba as well. To me, it seemed like he dislocated his shoulder or something in that region. Maybe his collarbone got bruised, something happened, but... when I saw Mirante come in, the thing with Mirante, he's a good keeper, he has good reflexes, but one thing he does do is he palms the ball to the path of the opposing player, which I'll get into soon because that was kind of a reoccurring theme throughout the match. And then it comes to halftime, we're still up 2-1. I was extremely happy. I think myself and other Roma fans were all thinking, let's hold on until next week, get out of here with a good result, and then hopefully Spinazzola and Veretout and Paulo Lopez can recover in time to close off in Rome. Mancini will also be back next week. So I think that's what we're all thinking. Just got out of here alive. And in the second half, it's probably one of the biggest breakdowns you'll ever see. We're known for these. It's happened against Fiorentina. It's happened against Bayern. It's happened against United in the past. It's happened plenty of occasions. It's happened against Liverpool. We do this quite often. It happens against Napoli. It always happens. And I was hoping it wouldn't, but history repeated itself, happened again. We just came out flat. And right off the bat, we just knew it was over. It was hard to watch. Pogba started playing like the old Pogba all of a sudden. The first half didn't really impress me at all. Bruno Fernandes had a good game. And Cavani Cavani wasted a lot of chances. I think when you get that many chances in front of a goal, you're going to score eventually. So Cavani, to be honest, didn't really impress me too much that match. What did impress me was his passing ability when he switched the pitch to Greenwood. That was a beautiful pass. He had some nice passes in there to, I believe, was it to Bruno? There's one play where Bruno got a shot off of Mirante. But an issue I had was Mirante, how every time someone kicks the ball, and obviously it's easier said than done, but... he always does it. He always palms the ball to the path of the opposing team. And two of those goals, you got to blame Mirante for. And the other two, you got to blame Smalling for. The other two, you have to blame Smalling for. Smalling was horrendous this match. I was hoping we'd see the old Smalling. We did in flashes. He had some nice moments. But Smalling just looked out of it this match. That's what happens when you miss 20 games and you get thrown into a big match like this. These injuries have been ruining us this whole season, and it's been catching up to us, and it was kind of the story of the game. The game goes on, our team keeps breaking down, and we're losing player after player after player after player. And it's no point in me going into the rest of the match. We all saw what happened. We got dominated. We deserved to lose that match. Second half was embarrassing. I see a lot of people blaming Fonseca. Obviously, I think it's time that he has to take the blame, and he did after the match. He said it's all his fault. I wouldn't go that far. I think a lot of individual errors led to the result that happened. I think he set the team the right way to start the game. I just feel like it's to start off the second half, you're up 2-1 in Manchester. It's you cannot allow a 3-on-2 situation to happen. The whole team should be back. We should all be defending like we did in the first half. I don't understand why we're pushing more for a goal. It was just you can't do that. It was embarrassing. A team cannot deflate themselves to that point where we're letting a 3-on-2 take place and we're 2-1 up in Manchester. It just can't happen. And I'm not sure what he said to them in the locker room. He obviously, he's part of the blame. The players, a lot of individual mistakes. Ibanez is almost gifted. Cavani a goal in the first half. So a lot of stuff went down. And that's the end of our season right there. No Champions League, no trophy, no, maybe not even Europa League. It's probably over here. We're going to have to look forward to next season now. The only positive we can really take away is we made $100 million from this Europa League campaign, which to start off the season, I didn't think we'd do good in Europa League at all. I was not confident this season, so the place we're in the standings didn't really surprise me. We've got our hopes up with how we're playing leading into the Christmas break. We're doing pretty well, and then we just completely collapsed after that. But going to next season now, I guess past the United stuff now, that's done. And the next thing I want to bring up is we've been linked to money to Saudi. And Saudi, we've seen what he can do with Chelsea. We've seen what he can do with Napoli. When Scudetto of Juventus, no matter how scrutinized he was during that run with Juventus, that 1 year he had, he's still in Scudetto. He's an experienced coach. We've seen him win dirty. We've seen him win beautiful at Napoli. We've seen him win trophies. He's done it all. He has experience. He knows how to get the best out of his players. And I'm hoping Saudi can bring that to Roma, because right now we're in a desperate situation. It's really hard to judge anyone really this season, because they have new ownership. We had a bunch of injuries and just a bunch of confusion this whole year. And I don't want to sound sour, but it's kind of a waste of a year for us, which we kind of expected. Year zero for us. I guess bringing in $100 million should help. Are we going to use it? We don't know, because the Friedkins haven't had a full summer yet. Last year they came in August, and you can't really buy players right when you come to a club. You need time to get into it. So we don't even have a technical director at all. We're using intermediaries to get deals done, for example, Smalling. So now we have a technical director. We have an ownership group who has a year of experience in Italy. They know the club. We're going to have a new manager. We're going to have a fresh start this summer. A new Roma is going to be built. We've been waiting for this. It's about time now. I feel like this summer will finally be the summer we get over the Monchi era. He's gone. Monchi's done. He's in the past now. I think this summer is the time where we finally get past all the damage he's done to the club. Because the damage he does is irreparable. It's ruined our club for years to come. And I think this summer is where we finally put down the past. We move on. We get Saudi, new coach. I do believe Friedkins will put in money. They seem like an ownership group that's taking it seriously. And with $100 million in the bank from this Europa League campaign, I don't know if that's just Europa League or the season from Serie A 2, I'm not too sure, but $100 million is going to help a lot. We'll see what we do. And Saudi, I know, is a good manager. I'm sure Dan will touch on this, that Napoli did a great job. It was probably maybe the best football you've seen play, Napoli play in the last 5 years. Maybe.
Yeah, even like just the way, like, yeah, just the way even the team performed, even though we didn't win anything under him, I feel like that team should have. Even the year we beat Juventus, then we choked to Fiorentina, I felt like that was the year we could have had a Scudetto. We just dropped a lot of points, especially against Fiorentina, and especially against that Torino match where it ended 2-2. But no, like when Napoli were playing on the side, like they reminded us of, say, like a Atalanta type, when they're all clicking and all rolling on all cylinders. They could beat anyone in the league. We can compete with the best of the best in the world at that time. I just thought the only problem with our team back then, goalkeeping was kind of an issue, because Pepe Reina was getting up there in age, and he wasn't Pepe Reina. I remember him at Liverpool and when he first came to Napoli. And also defensively, we looked out of sort at times. It was just ugly defense. But attackingly, from the midfield play and the attack was just beautiful football. And he's a good coach, even though he did go to Juventus, which left a sour taste in my mouth. Anytime a player who was once at Napoli joins Juventus, it's just a sour taste in my mouth. But he was such a good coach, and I feel like if he does go to Roma, you'll see a different style of Roma. And you, who knows, maybe this Roma team next summer could be a scary one to look out for. If they bring in like the right players that fit under Sarri's system.
Yeah, and definitely before we move on to the next topic I want to bring up, the thing is that we have a lot of positions we need to improve on. It's not just the manager, but I think we will improve on the number one goalkeeper. That has to be sorted out. Paulo Lopez, I do feel bad for him. In Europa League, he was phenomenal. But the thing is, he makes too many errors, and it's kind of, it's hard for defense and just fans in general to watch a goalkeeper that, even though he's playing well, and any second he can make an error that costs you the game, like we saw against Lazio last year. That's the one I'm sure no Roma fan will ever forget. That was hard to watch, but I do feel bad for Paulo Lopez. Seems like a nice guy. He does save us at times, especially against Ajax. He's fantastic. But I think it is time to get someone who's more secure, more sure of themselves, like maybe like a Golini, who I'm pretty sure is younger than Paulo Lopez by a year, but Golini has played in the Champions League. He's played in big Serie A matches, and he knows the league more. I would like someone like Golini. Musso, who arguably top three goalkeeper in the league. Like last year, I'm pretty sure he led in clean sheets of 14. I could be mistaken.
Enzo.
14 or 15 last year.
Yeah.
You could always welcome back a Roma legend, too, in back in that.
Who?
I'm sure Wojciech Szczesny would love to come back home.
No. That guy's been. He lost all respect for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants to come back home, man. He comes
that
back
guy's a traitor. I wouldn't even take him back for the third keeper. No way. That guy's not welcome back. That guy can go smoke in the shower somewhere else. God, I want him to. But, yeah, we need a striker. We need a striker. We need Belotti, something like that. Vlahovic, and I don't want to hear the excuse about, it costs too much. At this point, I really don't care. I really don't care. We're going to get into money right now. But we need to spend money. You do not win without spending money. It's simple as that. Like Dan, how you said Napoli, you should win a trophy. Correct me right now. I don't think Napoli had that strong of a team, like quality-wise.
Maybe on the starting 11, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the starting 11 was incredible. Like, I feel like at the time, well, also...
Because it's the bench.
Yeah.
The bench is horrendous.
It's just the bench wasn't there. Like, we have a better... I believe that we have a better team now. Like, just not player-wise, but just, like, when it comes to, like, numbers and stuff. We have more, like, players that can play now than we did under Sarri. I think that's one thing, too, that I kind of, like, wish we had. We had, like, a stronger bench because guys now, like, our midfield, past Jorginho, Alan, Hamsik, and Zielinski, we really had nobody. Like, we had nobody after that. We had guys like Valdifiori, like, no-name guys coming in. Like, there's a few players here and there who... They were good players to have off the bench, but they were either alone or 2 years they were with their club. Like, we really didn't have much of a squad. And the guys we did bring in, say, like a Marco Rogue and Diawara, they didn't pan out. They didn't play well under Sarri's tactics. And they showed signs of their quality, but at most of the time, it was just them playing, like, 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then them doing not much. So that's one thing I regret, too.
Yeah, you cannot compete on three fronts with a garbage bench. We had Bruno Perez coming on, and United has someone like Mason Greenwood. You can't, like, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear, like, I don't know these, like, underdog stories are beautiful, like, oh, Leicester won the Prem and Atalanta. You need a good bench to win. There's a reason why Atalanta only started waking up once they got eliminated from the Champions League. It's because they don't have to worry about those three fronts. You don't have to depend on your bench. Yeah, and Napoli as well after the Europa League.
Like, after, like, we got knocked out of Europa League, we started getting our bodies back and we started getting players back. And we've been on a tear as of late. Like, there again, we did drop a few games, but we've been playing a lot better. And we're going to have a discussion soon about before Gattuso, we wanted Gattuso out after Europa League. And now we're debating that we should keep him for next season because we don't want him to leave because that's how good we've been playing as of late.
Exactly. That's something we're going to touch on very soon, definitely. And even Milan and Inter, you see, Inter eliminated in the Champions League group stage, fourth place, no Europa League event, so they only had the Serie A to focus on. Milan, they're in the Europa League. When does their collapse start? When they're playing games like against United and then the round of 32. Inter didn't have to worry about that. They're just playing once a week that, and occasionally Coppa Italia, but that's how they got eliminated. But that's what I mean here. Like, you need a good bench. And if Napoli that season with Sarri had a good bench, I can almost guarantee that they're winning the Scudetto or a couple points off, but they'd make it much tougher. And they almost did. So a bench is important, and you cannot compete against big European sides, which brings us into our next topic here. The Premier League, man. Those guys have so much money. And I want Francesco off here very soon, but like those teams, they're levels above the rest of Europe, especially Italy. Italy can't even touch them. I saw a tweet here that I'll remember from the top of my head now, but I can't remember who reported it, but they said something along the lines of United annual revenue is a 580 million, yeah, while Roma's is 520 or 150. That's crazy. That's crazy. Like, you can't compete like that. You just can't compete. That's insane. And the Super League. Imagine the Super League happened. It would be over. It's already over. Imagine after that. It would be, no. That's why the Super League cannot happen or ever happen. And money, I don't care if anyone says money wins trophies, and that's just how it is. It's always going to be like that. And until these teams compete, and financially, it's not going to translate to the field. So
yeah, here's a tweet. This is actually the tweet. Man United, 580 million euros annual revenue versus Roma, 128 annual revenue.
That's insane. And you can see the difference. Just look at the starting 11.
That's like United has more than probably four or five teams in Serie A. They combined.
Definitely. And just look at it. Our midfield. I love Villar. I love Villar from the bottom of my heart. A great player, person, everything. I love Villar. We got Villar for $4 million from the second division in Spain. They had Paul Pogba. I'm pretty sure they spent $95 million on him. You just can't compete with that. Maybe 120. You can't compete like that. Obviously, I love VR, but I'm just saying, a player worth 95 million or maybe more, to a player that's worth 4 mil from the second division in Spain, that's just, you can't compete with that. You just can't.
It's a disaster the way English teams have so much money to spend. I remember seeing something on Twitter somewhere that West Brom Albion, the 20th place team in Premier League, make more money. They make more money than Juventus does for winning the Scudetto. I mean, there needs to be some rule in place to make sure that there's some balance in football. I mean, that's why, I as much as we hate the Super League, that's why the Super League, the Italian teams won the Super League, because they want to catch up to these English teams, because they're making so much money that it's not even fair. I'm sure West Brom, like, obviously Juventus have more money than West Brom, but for them to make more money off of one season than the champions of Italy, that's a problem in itself. So the fact that Manchester United, a team that has the quality and the wallet space to be in Champions League, is in the Europa League because of their poor performances. And obviously, Roma is not a small team by any means. But compared to United, they are a tiny. They're like a Serie A B team compared to Manchester United with the budget space they have and the team quality. It just obviously watching the game was hard. I thought Roma was going to win, even if they lost, not by that nature at all. But when you look at it on paper and see that Manchester United have they're worth 580 million euros and Roma's worth 125 million, those numbers just aren't comparable at all. And there needs to be a change to where there's some sort of equity and like fairness into what teams could spend and maybe more deals with Serie A and other leagues across Europe, because all the deals are going to England and the Premier League. It's literally every single media deal is going to the Premier League, and it's just not fair at this point.
The one problem too, we can all agree though, Premier League, when it comes to marketing and TV broadcasting and fans around the world, they're the biggest ones in the world.
Well, that's only because of the language barrier. Obviously, English is the international language, and they speak English. So that's the main reason why it helps so much.
But also, too, their marketing is
incredible.
Incredible, yeah. Serie A, in my opinion,
needs to do better. Yeah, it's true.
Even like clubs in Serie A, they do not market their team or their league properly, and they have to be better.
I agree.
To do more North American tournaments. They got to do preseason tournaments in North America. They have to do more tournaments in, say, like Asia, South America. Like, just get the fans going again. Because back then in the 80s and 90s, it's arguably Italy dominated soccer, you can say. Like, with players and stuff, we had soccer like in Italy. All the players wanted to come to play in Italy. Now all the players want to go in the Premier League and play. So it all comes down at the end of the day where the money goes. And it helps, too, that all these rich bastards, like, it's funny, all these rich bastards, they own a team in Premier League. Or they have, like, a tie with, like, stocks in Premier League. No one does it in Italy. You hear all this stuff about teams in Serie B, like Palermo, Parma 1 year, Avellino, all these good clubs that were in Serie A a few years ago or back then, going bankrupt because of the money. It's all, at the end of the day, it's all how you market your team and how you market the league and what you do with the money. And the Premier League does everything right when it comes to marketing. And Serie A, that's one thing they need to do. They need to improve it.
Yeah.
And there was a time, too, maybe about 5 years ago, short period, where the only time you would watch soccer on national television was through beIN Sports and Rai Italia. TLN didn't have soccer for the longest time, and recently they got it, which helps because a lot of fans are starting to watch it again. So, and Premier League, they were always on like TSN, Sportsnet.
Yeah, the free channels.
Yeah, and all these free channels that anyone could watch it. So it helps too with that.
Yeah, it also helps. I mean, speaking as a Juventus fan, I think it's safe to say Juventus has been carrying the Serie A in over-marketing. And, like, one of the things that helped the most is bringing in Ronaldo. Even though performance-wise, he's not doing the best. He's not doing what Juventus fans hoped. Marketing-wise, Ronaldo has helped the Serie A exponentially. And I think with him, like, possibly leaving, it's going to hinder the league so much. But at the same time, it helps Juventus. It hurts Juventus. It hurts the Serie A as a whole, though, with him leaving. Because when Ronaldo was in the league, when Ronaldo was in the league, players want to come to the league. Like, whether it's Roma, Napoli, Inter, Milan, Juve, players want to come because Ronaldo's there. People tune in to watch Ronaldo. And that helps. We need more players.
Yeah, like, say, like, Aguero comes to Serie A. You'll get fans to Serie A because he's a big fan base. Imagine a guy like Messi comes to Serie A, which
brings in the fans.
There's a bigger chance he's going to stay at Barca. But he'll draw names from the Argentinian fan base.
The Spanish fan base.
Here, there.
Everywhere. Worldwide, yeah.
That's why Italy needs to start bringing in more players, that's one thing I started seeing more as the years go on. They're starting to get players from around the world to come in. Look at Lozano. The guy's probably the biggest Mexican star right now. He's playing in Serie A. Osimhen, he's got a big fan base in Nigeria. He's playing in Serie A. Lukaku, guy's incredible. He's got good fan base from United, from Belgium and stuff. He's playing in Serie A. So that's one thing, too, that a lot of teams are going to start doing just to get their name out there and just to bring them in. Look at Goldie. Guy went to Cagliari. At one point, this guy was a top center back, and he's playing at Cagliari. So Serie A, as the years go on, they're doing a little bit better, but I feel like they need to step it up a little bit when it comes to marketing their league and marketing the teams in their league.
Yeah, just hard with the players, though, because obviously we talked about, like, the Premier League, they could bring in these star-studded players because they have each team has more than enough money to bring in a star. In Serie A, if we're talking about Messi, unless Juve sell Ronaldo, Juve can't afford him. And the only other team I could see afford him are Inter. Those are the only two teams I could see that could financially support Lionel Messi. No other team. In the Premier League, I can name at least 10 that could actually sign Messi and financially support him. Whether he'd go to, like, a smaller club in the Prem is a different story. But those teams could financially support him. And I think that's the issue. Marketing-wise, City, I need to do a whole lot better. They need to be able to, like you said, the TLN getting the City outrights was huge.
That was huge.
Just because football was... We always heard that, especially when the Super League, football... was made for the poor, and it was taken from the rich. So when you have beIN Sports, I love beIN Sports commentary. I love when it was on beIN Sports City. But for people who can't afford BN Sports, it was pretty pricey. When people can't afford these programs, or like they're young kids and they want to watch soccer, obviously they're not gonna know. Okay, let me go. City has on BN Sports. Okay. It's by a paywall, and they're not gonna go ask their parents, "Can you pay for this? I want to see what this is," because they don't even know what it is. But if you're just scrolling through the channels, you see TSN, you see the Premier League's on. You go on TLN, you see like the City ads on. It just brings more eyes because it's free. It's easy accessible, and that's what the main part is. When it's easy accessible, you're more able to watch it, and that's what helps the City out a lot.
Yeah, and that's why too with the World Cup and stuff, like we're glad we have them on, say, like CTV might show some games, TLN might show some games, TSN are gonna show games. And we have like a lot of TSN channels too that can provide content for us for like.
Yeah, that's us in Canada.
International too, yeah. That's just in Canada. If you guys are elsewhere, say like in England, I think Sky Sports has it. BT Sports.
BT. Yeah.
BT Sports. That's a big one. Italy, they have Sky Italia, DAZN. I know DAZN is becoming very popular in Italy.
The U.S., they got ESPN.
USA, ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus. They have other programs too. Fox Sports shows World Cup games too. So everyone's got their provider, and I just feel like Serie A needs to take advantage of that. And the one thing I like too, over the past, what was it, 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, they actually had a national television game.
Yeah, on ABC. It was the Atalanta Fiorentina game. Yeah.
So that's one thing too that they could start doing. Like, okay, here and there, we'll put a game on ABC, put a game on Fox Sports, just to get the name out there, get the league out there. Because if that starts to happen, then fans will be like, I kind of like this soccer because it's old-fashioned soccer. It's good. It's like a chess match. Like, you have to, like, it's not like fast paced, like it's like a hockey game, which you can all tell you that like the Premier League could be like that. There's some games too that it's very fast paced, and it's like, whoa, it's like so much entertaining. It's so much entertainment.
Well, that also helps too with Serie A.
Yeah. And I feel like too now as the years go on, we all know Serie A becoming more of a quote unquote defensive league. Serie A, I think they broke their goal scoring record for the past 2 years. They have the most goals in the year. In these past two years, like it's becoming more of an attacking league, and I feel like that's one factor too that turns off fans when it's just a boring stalemate game. But if you see a 2-2 game, a 4-3 game where Atalanta came back from 3-1 down to win the 90th minute,
that's entertaining.
The fans' interest. Yeah. So yeah. I feel like that plus the marketing aspect, they all tie in, and that's why the Premier League has the money it is, because of just everything in general, all the factors that we named here today.
Yeah, you guys nailed it. Yeah, definitely. Hopefully in the coming years, City I can improve on that. But now moving on, I know Danny, you're gonna have mixed feelings about this one, but Napoli has been linked to Spalletti, Luciano Spalletti, my most hated manager in the history of managers. So Dan, sorry if you get him. I'm gonna have to hope he guys lose every game because I can't stand him.
Oh, don't worry, and I hope we don't get him either.
But there's been a debate between Napoli fans, of course, because obviously I'm not in Napoli Twitter. You probably know better than me, but I'm sure most of you don't want Spalletti.
No, you know what though? It's a mix.
Really?
It could be. Yeah. There's some people who think Spalletti would be a good manager for us, and there's some people who think Gattuso's the guy. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm a Gattuso guy. Just the way we've been playing. And I don't think we should, if it comes down to Gattuso leaving, if he wants to leave to join Fiorentina or wherever he wants to join, I'll let him be as long as the manager we bring in is an upgrade. If we can get a guy like, say, Juric, I'll be happy. Galtier from Lille, I'll be happy because I really like the way he coaches and I like his style. And one factor too, I like he's an Osimhen guy. Osimhen will shine under him. Or even bring in the Allegri. You got to bring in a proven manager who's won the past. At this point, who can lead the team to a Scudetto win. But if you can't get any of those guys, keep Gattuso, because I feel like Gattuso, I feel like we were a little too hard on him because he didn't really have the chance to show what he can do, because there's, yes, tactically, Spalletti's better than him tactically, but I just feel like Napoli, they like Gattuso, they're starting to like him more, they're starting to connect with him better, the players love him, every time they score, they go up to him and hug him, and we're winning matches now, we're in third place for, like, for heck's sake, like, where we have the chance to get to the Champions League, and our goal at the end of the year, once we lost the Coppa Italia, once we got to Europa League, get into Champions League. And if he could do that, then he deserves to stay another year. And it won't look good on Napoli too if every year we have a different manager. It's a bad taste in managers' mouths because it gives them the scare, like, oh, if I don't perform for Napoli, then this one year I'm gonna be sacked this next year. So I feel like Gattuso. I would personally keep Gattuso at the end of the year, depending on where Napoli finish. If Napoli somehow finish sixth or fifth, then you can debate, okay, maybe it's time to move on. But if he gets you into the Champions League, you have to keep him. Like, I personally think you have to keep him because I feel like the players will rebel if Gattuso is gone at the end of the year and they get into Champions League. I feel like guys like Koulibaly might leave, Ruiz might leave. All these other guys might leave. And I feel like you have to give Gattuso another year because this year he was hit with everything. COVID, we had a few COVID cases. Our most expensive player this year hasn't lived up to his expectations the first half of the season because of the injury he suffered. He had COVID and came back. He was playing poor and then he suffered a little scare. So I feel like next year, a healthy Insigne, a healthy Osimhen and a healthy Politano, Lozano, whoever plays, with upgrades on the positions on the players that we leave, I feel like Napoli could be a scary team. And under Gattuso, I feel like they could win something under him, just the way he is and the way he motivates the players into playing the game. I just think the one negative about him, I don't like the way he coaches a few games, and there's a few times this year that we looked like we were scared to play, and I'm not a big fan of passing it back to the goalie 100 times a game. So if he could eliminate that and eliminate in the few games that just come out every game and play the way we can, because there's sometimes that would not really look like they can beat anyone. And then there's sometimes where I want to put my head through a wall because of the way we're playing. So personally, I would keep Gattuso past the season, depending on where we finish. If we finish fifth, then I feel like it's time to move on. But I would not go with a guy who is a downgrade. I would try to look for an upgrade over him.
Yeah, well said. And don't forget, Gattuso did win a Coppa Italia with Napoli, too, so
people,
that's another thing.
That. Yeah, our best football came under Sarri, but what did we win? Nothing. Gattuso plays one finals for us. He wins it for us. His first finals, he coaches for us. I should not say play. He coaches. I wish he was playing for us, but coaches for us. He wins it. And who did they beat? The Scudetto winners. They play against the Supercoppa. We played one of our worst games. We could have easily tied it up, but we missed a penalty. So I would personally keep Gattuso if that means to bring in Spalletti, because I personally don't like Spalletti as a person. I don't like him as a coach. But if we can get an upgrade, like a Juric, a Galtier, or Allegri, heck, maybe even Sarri, who knows, depending on these Roma rumors. I would do it, but if we're not getting one of those guys, then I would just keep Gattuso.
Yeah, and I think Napoli, the biggest thing, and I think most teams that when they win the Scudetto or a trophy, I think the biggest thing they need to adjust is that November, December, January area where they just go on a complete downfall. I think most teams, like Roma does it, Napoli does it.
Oh, yeah. Do it every year.
Milan did do it this year, did it later on. But usually Inter's done in the past. Many teams just fold in those 3 months. And I think we've been seeing that from every Napoli manager in the past couple of seasons. Same to Roma. And if you can find a manager that can avoid that, it would help a lot. But I think the reason for that is the bench. You need to rotate and run those 3 months. That's when you're not going to feel the wear and tear that early on, but you are going to start feeling exhaustion, the players' fatigue, they're going to be tired in that area for the bench. And that's when you're playing a lot of European matches to the group stages. So without an actual good bench, it's really hard to do both. And then you do better later on because you're out of Europe, and then all you have to focus on is Serie A, so you can play the same starting lineup. But without a bench, it's going to be very hard to manage those games. So hopefully if you do keep Gattuso or whatever manager you get, you bring in some more depth. And because it's not always about getting, oh, I want James Rodriguez. Oh, I want
you have to
all these big guys.
Sometimes the smallest upgrades
wind up being the
biggest upgrades, yeah. Look at Koulibaly. We brought in Koulibaly for, I think it was $4 million from Genk, I believe. I think it was Genk. The guy wasn't, he was okay. But as the years go on, he progressively got better and better. Sometimes these smaller guys, and that's why like I feel like Napoli needs to like upgrade on, say, the left back. Obviously, we need a left back because I believe Mario Rui is a good backup. He could be a good backup. But we need a left back, and that's why, like a guy like Emerson Palmieri, if he comes in, he'll be perfect for us because he's got chemistry with Insigne on the left side when they play for Italy, and he's a type of fullback that reminds me of Napoli in say 2016, 2017 when Gullum was in his prime when he was healthy, and how he played and how he attacked, how he played with the ball, how he linked up with Insigne, and that's when Napoli were at their best when we actually had players in the fullback positions who actually knew what the hell they were doing. Where, like, Di Lorenzo, for me, I can argue this. He's probably the best right back in Italy, we can argue. And that right side, I have no problem with. Sometimes when Manolas fucks up, yeah, I have a problem with. But when he plays with with Koulibaly, that right side and left side, it's solid because I have faith in those guys. When Mario Rui or Husay plays left back, I tend to shit my pants because, like, I don't know what the hell they can do. They're gonna do. They're either good, like surprisingly good, or they're like dog crap. So I feel like Napoli need a few pieces to bring in and bring in some bodies as well. If they can do that, then maybe with under Gattuso, I'll be talking about maybe a Scudetto winner next season.
Yeah, well said, Dan. And speaking about a question marks around the manager, Andrea Pirlo, a lot of questions have come up about him and his future. Juve fans have been debating it. They brought him in, surprisingly. You know, I think we all expected Juve to get someone of a more household name, more experience, and they threw Pirlo into a tough situation. And it looks like it's all falling apart at the moment for Juventus, and people want him out. People want to send a team in a different role. Everyone wants something different, but we all want to know what Ferce thinks about this. So, Ferce, what do you think about a Pirlo situation?
Yeah, the whole situation is in shambles. The entire club's in shambles as we speak. Regarding the Pirlo situation, I'm going to say the same thing I said about Sadi last season. You can't base a manager off your first season. Pep Guardiola didn't win with City in his first season. Jurgen Klopp didn't win with Liverpool in his first season. The reason is you need plans. You need a full long-term plan. Obviously, there's some outliers like Conte and Chelsea, Sadio and Juve. You need plans, a long-term development plan to do well. And so I believed Sadio had that long-term plan to do well. I said he had a 3-year plan. He wasn't given it. Pirlo, this is his first ever coaching job. It's not easy at Juventus, and obviously we can now, I think this season at Juventus with Pirlo gives more recognition to Sadi's year at Juventus, because yeah, everyone was saying, oh, you could throw anyone in, and they'd been the Scudetto with Juve, and now you could see how hard it is, especially with the competition growing. So for me personally, I wouldn't sack Pirlo, I'd give him another year. Now, in saying that, this is if we qualify for Champions League. I still think Juve are winning the Scudetto. You guys are going to call me delusional. It's still possible. It's not over.
It's time to give it up.
It's not over yet. Mathematically, it's not over yet. So sure. I still have faith.
It is so close that Inter could secure it this weekend.
but you're missing one factor.
They're playing Crotone.
They're playing the Simi show. Simi is going to score a hat-trick.
Okay.
Gotcha, it's over. Like,
just give it up.
The one thing
I don't like Inter, it's over.
The one thing that actually pissed me off about though is mathematically it's not over. Oh, Juventus's slogan, their motto is "Fino alla fine," until the end.
Well, fight until the end.
and we have players on Juventus.
Instead of focusing on the Scudetto, focus about finishing top four.
Yeah,
currently in fifth place. Not like you saying, "Oh, the Scudetto's not over." That's still saying for me. That's like me saying, "Oh, not going to win the Scudetto now." It's over.
No, but like, obviously,
I'm more worried about top four than I am about the Scudetto. Like Inter can have it this year because we'll be back next year together.
Yeah, well, that's what like obviously, it's unlikely, very unlikely, but it's not impossible.
It's impossible.
It's not impossible. Like mathematically. It's not impossible. Obviously, it's looking like
I'm not sure to be honest.
Inter played Crotone. I don't know when though. It's looking like Inter are winning the Scudetto. It's very likely Inter win the Scudetto.
They won.
But like we can't say 100% they won. And the thing that pissed me off the most is hearing players like Dybala, who's supposed to be a future captain of Juventus, like De Ligt, who's voiced his opinion on wanting to be a future captain of Juventus,
coming out
in the press and saying, the Scudetto's over, now we've got to fight for top four. Even Chiellini, who is the captain of Juventus, when you have the leaders of the Juventus locker room saying, the Scudetto race is over, and they lose that mentality, that hunger, that's worrying for me. In terms of Pirlo, I would keep him. Obviously, everyone on this podcast knows my despise for Allegri. He's looking to come back, and I called this when he was magically into the press, when he just magically showed up to do an interview, and I called it, and I said he's planning something diabolical. My only concern with that is he's admitted he hasn't watched the sport in 2 years. He's admitted that he hasn't followed the sport in 2 years. So it shows his lack of passion for the sport, and it also shows his lack of knowledge for the sport in these past 2 years. Because we've all seen football can change. Football can change in 6 months, it could change in a year, it could change in 2 years, it could change in 10 years. We've all seen a shift. So in the 2 years that the style of play has changed, Allegri hasn't been aware of this. So it's basically throwing an inexperienced manager in because he doesn't know how the style of play is. He hasn't adapt. He has to now adapt to that style of play that he is unaware of. So it gives me some worries. But if Allegri does come, it's a new chapter in the book. Everything he's done in the past is erased. And I only focus on him as a new manager, as a blank canvas. The only thing I would love for Allegri to do is to play the 4-2-3-1. And to have Pirlo on as assistant manager, I think he deserves that chance to learn from someone so experienced and who knows how to win the Scudetto, not the Champions League, but the Scudetto. And maybe Pirlo could say, listen, I was in this atmosphere in the Champions League final. I know what it takes to win. I know what it takes to win in the big competitions. I could help you there. You could teach me how to develop my managerial prowess. And I think that could be a good partnership. Obviously Ronaldo's linked to be gone, which is, it's a shame. Obviously, performance wise for Juventus as the team, I think it's for the better. I think Enzo said this many times. Juventus play better without Ronaldo. I think Dybala would finally come out of his shell without Ronaldo there. We bring in a younger striker, a younger attacker. My dream would be Karim Benzema in his prime. I don't think that's happening, but if we could just get Morata, I think he'd be good enough for now. And then get a substitute off the bench like a Giroud, I think would be great. If we could get a Guido off for free, that'd be fantastic. To replace Ronaldo, obviously we're linked with Lewandowski. If Ronaldo does leave, that would be great. But, I think as a league as a whole and for Juventus marketing aspect, it's bad for Ronaldo to leave. But as a team performance, I think it's for the better. We've seen these past couple of weeks, these past couple of months, even these past couple of years overall, Ronaldo just hasn't been doing what he was expected to do on the field. He's had a couple of great games, but for the most part, they've been poor and standard games. Lippi, technical director, that would be fantastic to have. Just a whole rerun of that front office staff. The only thing that I'm extremely, extremely looking forward to, but I just don't see happening, is Paratici's out the door. I will personally fly him out of Italy myself, get him out of the country. I never want to see him with Juve again. What this man has done with Juventus, it's just, he doesn't know what he's doing in his job. But apparently we are obviously take these rumors with a grain of salt, but we are linked with a Marotta return. I don't see him leaving Inter anytime soon. I don't think there's a reason for him to leave Inter after the project he's built so beautifully. But if he does return to Juve, I'd be so happy. What he's done at Juventus with Agnelli has really built Juventus to the dominance we've seen over the past 9 years. And if he could come back and really help us out, that'd be incredible. But as long as Paratici's gone, I'm fine with it. But as far as Pirlo, I just hope he stays. If he does leave and Allegri does come, I really hope he goes into his 4-2-3-1 like 2017 Juve before the horrific final. I hope he studies the sport. I hope he learns over these past months that he's linked with his job instead of talking to the media and talking to the press like he's some sort of celebrity. I really hope he's at home on his couch watching games from the past 2 years and understanding how the game has changed and how he could not only win the Scudetto, but win the Champions League, which is the ultimate prize Juventus have been striving for.
Yeah, well said. Pirlo, obviously, we're trying to get his opinion. There's a lot of question marks, like I said before. Fans are giving the take on him. I think ultimately what would have been better from the start was to give him maybe an assistant manager role at the beginning of the season and then more experience from beside him, because
it could have been better for the under 23s just to teach, like, start off small. Like what kind of role Gattuso did when he was at Milan too. I think he started off at the youth 19s he was with, and he worked his way up to managing the actual team.
Overall though, I think Pirlo had a successful season. With everything in question, I mean, he won a Supercoppa. He's in a Coppa Italia final. He's beaten big teams like Barcelona. He's beaten Inter, who's gonna win, likely to win this. Not over yet. He's beaten Inter in the Coppa Italia. He's had to. I think we could all agree, the teams in Serie A, the top five, the top six, like they've been the toughest teams over the past like 5-6 years. And I feel like Pirlo had the Champions League, the Coppa Italia, and the Serie A to worry about. Obviously, Champions League, we crashed out a little early. But we still have to worry about it. Inter has been purely on Serie A this entire season. I mean, they crashed out in the group stages. So, I mean, and what Inter has built is fantastic with Lukaku leading the line, Conte, Morata.
Wow.
I think
Inter credit from Francesco.
I haven't
heard that in a while.
I think you have to give respect where respect's due.
I didn't expect that from you though.
The knockoff brands, like, you know when you get like an iPhone and like you have like the knockoff brands like in China, and like they're not as like high quality, but they still get the job done.
Yeah, I think what you're gonna say.
I think Inter did a very good job at it. I mean, Lick Steiner said this, Patrice Evra said it. I think they've done a great job. In assessing Juventus's mistakes of obviously saying no to Conte, getting rid of Morata, not going after the Lukaku deal. I mean, we were linked with Darmian and we said no because I was one to say I didn't want Darmian, and how he's scoring game winners to help Inter get crucial points here. I mean, it's good to see they had Asamoah at one point. They know how to target winners and the mentality of winners. And they bring them into the club, and they build on top of that. So in that aspect, they've done well. They know how to build a winning team domestically. Conte's always known how to build a winning team domestically, and he always knows how to win domestically. In Europe, that's a different story. But I think we could all say that. But like credit to Inter for what they did. It was a tough year. Obviously, if they do win the Scudetto, all Inter fans would be celebrating the first time in 10 years. They'll finally overtake Milan in the most Scudettos. They'll still be at least like 10 or 12 behind us, like always. But they've done well. They've done well this season, and they have to build upon it to build a challenging aspect in Serie A. But I truly believe if we give Pirlo one full year with a transfer window, Like, you tell him, Pirlo, who do you want? He brings in a proper midfield, an actual winger, not Bernardeschi. Kulusevski's too young for me to be starting in these big games, but a proper, like, left winger. Maybe a striker to help out if Ronaldo does stay, whatever that fiasco is looking like. But a proper midfield mainly. An actual goalkeeper who knows how to save a ball and catch a ball.
Buffon.
Yeah, give Buffon more minutes. I would love that. But I think Pirlo could win the Scudetto. I mean, besides that one game that we had against Inter, we had two games against Inter. One game we won in the Coppa Italia, and the other game we got demolished. But that's also because we didn't have a healthy team. And I think you give Pirlo a full healthy team with this transfer window, I think he could overpower Conte's Inter side. Yeah. It's not gonna be easy, but I think it'll be much closer than this season. I think it'll be maybe like Sadi's season last season, where he won by 1 or 2 points. But if Allegri does come, you know, I'll welcome him in with open arms, a blank canvas. I just really hope that either Pirlo or Del Piero are on the bench, because Del Piero is linked with getting his coaching license and helping out behind the scenes at Juventus. So I hope one of those players are on the bench to give to boost morale with the squad.
I'd give you two games. Maybe the first game I'll let you slide. I'd give you two games into the season before you start complaining about Allegri.
Yeah. I think the
Piero's going to be... I just hope he changed his tactics over.
Not two games in the league, two games in preseason before you complain about Allegri.
Well, I got to see how he adapts with the tactics. Obviously, I've seen him over the years on his tactics, and we've seen that his tactics are outdated and they don't work. So his departure, well, no.
But work.
Why'd you guys want 4 or 5 Scudettos in a row and took you to Champions League finals?
Yeah, but at the same time, the teams he faced were very weak teams. It's not like we're playing against Conte's Inter.
The Champions League final.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys can get past the round of 16 now, barely.
But I think when Allegri leaves for the 2 years, his job, since he wasn't managing, he said he wanted to manage and no big teams wanted him. His job was to study the sport. His job was to study the sport and say, okay, how can I improve my game to make sure the next club I coach does better than where they left off? And he didn't do that. He sat on the couch doing who knows what, maybe watching Italian soap operas for all I know. I don't know what he was doing for these 2 years, but he wasn't studying the sport like he should have. And I think that's going to hinder for the first couple of months in the season. He's not going to know what he's doing. And that's going to piss me off, because he's supposed to be a quote-unquote experienced manager. And if he's not, in the first couple of months, obviously with Pirlo, I'm more lenient, because it's his first job. With Sadi, it was his first, you could say, his first job at a top club where he's expected to win. Chelsea. So I don't think Chelsea said, okay, win the Premier League in your first season. I don't think that was a major expectation. With Juventus, it was like, you don't win and you're out. And we saw that. He won and he was out. So with Allegri, he's an experienced manager. I'm expecting more from him from the start. I'll give him a fair shot. I'll give him 1 month to see if he's developing. If the gameplay is the exact same, he's not developing in any way, then you're going to start hearing Allegri slander on this podcast again. But until then, you know, we got to see what happens if he even does come. He's been spotted in Torino. Overall, I think he's a diabolical little rat for what he's done. He crawled out of the sewer gates. Showed up on television one day, and I told you guys all. I said he's planning something diabolical, and that's what he did. He just randomly showed up on TV one day, and now all of a sudden he's gonna get the Juventus job. For me, it was planned for months before that TV appearance, and I think what he did was diabolical. But if he does come again, he starts off a blank canvas, and we'll see what happens in the future. I personally would keep Pirlo. That's if he qualifies for Champions League.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that rant. Rochelle watches too many supervillain movies. I think we came to that conclusion. But I'm gonna wrap it up here before Rochelle goes another 40 minutes about Allegri, because this guy can go all day about Allegri. So
I'm pretty sure he can make a podcast just
the Allegri podcast. Every podcast episode is just about Allegri. With all the dirty things he does, I probably can, to be fair.
Definitely. Well, we're going to wrap it up here because I'm trying to get these guys out to you on the same day we're recording on Friday, April 30th. So we're going to wrap it up. We'll be back next week. And ciao.
Ciao.